AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR. News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI. And GorgeRadio.com present the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, and Skyline Hospital.
Now, here's Mark Bailey.
It is 8:06 in the morning, and we do say good morning, Mid-Columbia Today, on a Wednesday, the 9th of April. Thank you for joining us this morning as we hit the midway part of the week. Here's what we're going to be doing today. First part of the show, Washington 17th District State Representative Kevin Waters will join us, and we will talk to him from Olympia, and we will talk, I'm sure, Gorge Commission in a bit. And the House, of course, did not have them in the budget. The Senate does. We talked 17th District Senator Paul Harris last week, and we will talk to Kevin about this as well today on the show. Second half of the show, Darren Ryan, Hood River County Health Department, will join us, and I suspect we'll talk a little bit about the what the County Health Department is dealing with in terms of the uncertainty at the federal level. We heard from North Central Public Health District last week about the loss of funding they've had to this point, and that they've got more that is in question at this time. So we will probably talk about that with Darren a bit on the show here in a few minutes. But first, as we always do, let's tell you about this day as men and what it means, at least to some people. 1865, Confederate General Robert E. Lee surrendered his army to Union Lieutenant General Ulysses S. Grant in Virginia after 4 years of civil war in the United States. 1939, Marian Anderson performed a concert at the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. after the black singer was denied the use of Constitutional Hall by the Daughters of the American Revolution. 1940, during World War II, Germany invaded Denmark and Norway. 1942, during World War II, some 75,000 Philippine and American soldiers surrendered to Japanese troops, ending the Battle of Bataan in the Philippines. The prisoners of war were subsequently forced to march 65 miles to POW camps in what is now known as the Bataan Death March. Thousands died or were killed en route. 1959, NASA introduced the Mercury 7 and its first seven astronauts, Scott Carpenter, Gordon Cooper, John Glenn, Gus Grissom, Wally Schirra, Alan Shepard, and Donald Slayton. 1968, funerals, private and public, were held for Martin Luther King Jr. at the Ebenezer Baptist Church and Morehouse College in Atlanta, 5 days after the civil rights leader was assassinated in Memphis. 2003, Baghdad fell to American troops during the Iraq War after 6 days of fighting. 2005, Britain's Prince Charles married Camilla Parker Bowles, who took the title Duchess of Cornwall. And in 2018, federal agents raided the office of President Donald Trump's personal attorney, Michael Cohen, seizing records on matters, including a $130,000 payment made to adult film actress Stormy Daniels. Days for today, it is Education and Sharing Day. It is National Cherish and Antique Day today. It is National Former Prisoner of War Recognition Day today. It's also National Unicorn Day today. Food and drink, it is National Gin and Tonic Day today. Celebrate responsibly. And it's National Pimento Cheese Day today, which I think probably is because the Masters Golf Tournament down in Augusta, Georgia, where one of the things that they famously do is they apparently serve pimento cheese sandwiches on the course, you know, available in the concessions. Must be a trademark down there. I imagine that's why it's Pimento Cheese Day. Even though Masters starts tomorrow. Nine-hole contest, though, today. They always have their annual day before on the par 3 nine-hole course there at Augusta National. Have a fun little event before the real tournament gets underway. Nobody's ever won the par 3 contest, by the way, and won the Masters. So you want to finish second there, I guess. Second or worse. Anyway, that's what we got for what it's worth, which may not be a whole lot. 810, Kevin Waters coming up next.
Get wall-to-wall savings and affordable floors in Abbey Carpets. Work directly with Larry or Shelby. They know flooring with over 30 years' experience. And Affordable Floors gives you a 60-day satisfaction guarantee. So come to the one-stop shop for everything your floor needs. Get wall-to-wall savings at your hometown floor store. Affordable Floors in Abbey Carpets. 1512 Osprey Drive, across from Windmaster Market in Hood River. Online at affordablefloorshr.com.
Hello, this is Dr. Schaefer of Cascade Orthopedics and Sports Medicine Center, where our goal is getting you back to being you. April is National Foot Health Awareness Month and a great time to focus on your feet. The health of your feet starts with the health of the rest of your body. I recommend a good diet, not smoking, being physically active, and dealing with foot pain promptly. At Cascade Orthopedics, we specialize in all types of foot pain and injuries. Visit cosmc.org or call 296-2294 and find out more.
Transforming your land with a John Deere compact tractor is as easy as connect, latch, load, haul, spread. Cutting grass is as simple as roll, click, mow. Box blading is as effortless as hook, lock, grade. And backhoeing is as convenient as turn around, switch, dig. Because when you've got the versatility to tackle just about any job and dealer support in your own backyard, you just have to get in the seat. Find the right compact tractor for you at johndeere.com.
Starting with one store in 1978, Boot Barn has become the largest Western and workwear retailer in the nation. Supporting those who feed, build, and protect America, we offer the largest selection of cowboy boots, work boots, Western wear, workwear, and outdoor gear. With over 500,000 pairs of boots and thousands of top quality jeans and clothing, it's an honor to support the people who make our country so great. Boot Barn. Keep West.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI, and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
8:12 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. We're now joined by Washington State 17th District Representative Kevin Waters in Olympia. Good morning, Kevin.
Morning, Mark. How you doing?
All right, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. We're getting ready to hit the floor for the last stretch of our long session here. So looking forward to the next couple of weeks, and hopefully we come to an end in a couple of weeks. So
let's start out here. I want to start with the Gorge Commission first, because a few days ago, of course, it came out that the House budget does not have funding for the Gorge Commission. The Senate budget does. I don't think it's as much as it has been in the past, but the funding is still there. Anything changed in the last few days?
Well, I mean, I've been meeting with the governor's office almost daily on this issue. You know, the Gorge Commission, I think, didn't see this coming. I can tell you, though, that, and I'm not trying to not talk about the Gorge Commission, but I mean, the amount of things that we have cut this session have been insane. I'm getting calls about the Gorge Commission, mental health, early child learning facilities. It's been nuts. I think the Gorge Commission will probably get funded. I think that the budget writers are working on it. And I think that, you know, it's got to go to concurrence. I told Christina, the Gorge Commission director, I said I was asleep in bed, and all of a sudden my phone started blowing up about 11 o'clock at night because I kept getting texts that the Gorge Commission got defunded, and I went, what? So I too was a little shocked by that, but... I think it'll get funded. I think it will have a reduction. They are considered, in talking with the governor's office, they're considered an agency just like everything else here in the state. And they are going to be asked to take a reduction. I think it's about a 3 or 6% reduction, which is what the governor's asked every agency to do. So, I think in concurrence, they'll get funded.
Yeah, I know the Gorge Commission, having been around here long enough for over these many years, I mean, it's a polarizing subject, maybe not as high profile as it used to be. But there is a reality that if the Gorge Commission was defunded, you'd be throwing stuff back onto the counties, and that's really not a good option either, is it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all about your perspective. You know, I obviously have a different perspective coming from Skamania County. We have, it's not the Gorge Commission, but the Forest Service has bought up 35% of scenic area land within Skamania County. It's equated to about a $5 million a year loss in tax, $4 to $5 million, according to our assessor, Gabe Spencer, in Skamania County, because the Forest Service has bought scenic area land and taken it off the tax rolls. So, you know, when it comes to planning, now, Klickitat County is the only county that still relies on the Gorge Commission. The other counties do their own planning, do their own permitting, but then it still has to be audited and approved by the Gorge Commission, and then there's appeal processes as well, which happen. And I think that is the bigger issue, is that right now, in talking with policymakers and people that really understand the commission, I think it's that the Gorge Commission kind of protects from the appeals process. I think that if the commission weren't around, then you would see probably more appeals on permitting. And that's the troublesome thing that I think the counties don't want to face.
Well sure, that gets the point. It's going to throw more onto the counties and, yep. You know, and more costs that, quite frankly, they can't afford for the same reason.
Mm-mm. Yeah,
everybody
exactly.
Else, you
yeah.
know?
So, yeah, Skamania can't afford it.
The act neither can. Yeah, the act and the regulations don't go away if Gorge Commission was to be defunded. You know, it's
no.
So, but it's, you know, I say you've talked to the governor. I got an impression of what the governor's position was from Paul Harris on the show last week. But I'll ask it again to you based off your talks. Where do you feel the governor comes down on this?
I think the governor is cautious. He, at least his staff, has told me that every agency, it doesn't matter if it's the Gorge Commission, whoever, every agency is under scrutiny right now.
Sure.
Everybody. And I think that, to be honest with you, this was an agency he didn't even know existed until the last couple of weeks. And I think they've asked me some really tough questions about who the governor appointees are, what kind of workload they take, what does the money go to. So I think that ultimately you're seeing a governor who is wanting to make sure that our funds are going in the right way, and that he's going to make sure that what they're doing is really what they say they're doing. He's scrutinizing everything.
that's an interesting perspective, though, that you just mentioned. Because, you know, around here, even though it has not been as high profile as it was 20 years ago, most certainly.
Sure.
But the Gorge Commission is well known. And it was, I think, probably fairly well known in state government circles back when from its inception into probably about the early 2000s. I do find it interesting that a governor takes office and really doesn't know it exists. I hate to say this quite this way, but reminds you of where Skamania and Klickitat counties fit in the grand scheme of things in Washington, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've explained to the governor's office that so Governor Kotek has gotten a hold of Governor Ferguson and has really told, you know, him how upset they are by this and how crucial the commission is. And, you know, I explained to the governor's office, I said, listen, you know, in Salem, you have the coast, you have Bend, and you have the Gorge. And those are crown jewels for folks in Oregon. Washington State, I mean, my goodness, we have Puget Sound. We have the coast. We have Leavenworth. We have Snoqualmie Pass. I had legislators coming up to me asking me, why do we have a commission for concerts? and I had to explain to him, this is a different gorge.
Well, I'll explain. Let me real quick, Kevin, explain to people who might not know down here in retaliation. The gorge, of course, is located in George Washington as a concert venue. Please continue.
Yeah. So that, I think, is the kind of thing that you're facing, is that you're facing with folks that, I mean, to be honest with you, when I tell people where I'm from, they're like, I've never even been there. I don't even know that place existed. I've brought a handful of Democrat and Republican legislators down to the gorge in the last 2 years. Every single one goes, my God, I didn't even know this place exists. This place is beautiful, you know. So Oregon has invested a ton of money on the Oregon side. You have the new scenic bike trail. You have, the Oregon, Travel Oregon that invests a lot of money making sure that folks go to Hood River Valley. And I think it's a great relationship that they have. I just think it's different on the Washington side. We don't see the same investment. It's something that I've been crying about literally up here for 2 years, saying, hey, we need better investment in the gorge. We need better investment in tourism. We need better investment in search and rescue. We're getting pummeled in tourism, which is great, but we just don't have any way of financing the infrastructure that we need for tourism. And so kind of, you know, my ask is, hey, I'll work with you on the Gorge Commission, but let's also just work on infrastructure and investment on the South Washington border. That's really critical because we get outdone by Oregon all the time. And it's something I talk about, whether you got Business Oregon, Travel Oregon, those guys are beating us up in a great way. They're very competitive. A lot of times Travel Oregon pays for Washington side resources because we don't have it. And so I think this just brings it to light. I had four or five members come up to me and say, why the hell do we have a commission for a concert venue? And I said, we don't. It's a totally different gorge. So I think it's just getting that word out and making folks understand what's really going on.
Emily, it's still because I remember all the battles over this even coming into existence years ago. Admittedly, it's hard for my brain to get wrap around what you just mentioned, which is, you know, and I think, you know, probably the explanation is very simple. You have, you know, the Gorge is Portland's direct backyard playground, which brings with it positives and negatives, as you well know.
Yep.
But whereas on the Washington side, the Gorge, well, certainly there are people in the Seattle Puget Sound area that come down here without question. It's still a primary market. But on the governmental side, it's not necessarily a backyard situation. And where, you know, we're truly Multnomah County is in the gorge scenic area. I mean, they're a part of it, and with a small part of land that at the west end that they have. So it's a far different dynamic than what Washington has in its legislature.
100%. In talking with Christina, the director of the Gorge Commission, she gets an hour and a half in front of the Oregon legislature to go and talk about the commission every year and what they do. If she came up here, she'd get maybe 3 minutes.
Wow.
Maybe.
Wow.
And that's for everybody. That's not just her. It's a completely different dynamic in investment, Oregon versus Washington. We're facing a totally different animal up here. Tons of investment in Puget Sound, tons of investment in Eastern Washington farming, agriculture. you have Spokane that is always needing funding because they have a lot of unique issues. You just have two states that are, you know, they're right next to each other, but they are vastly different. And population centers are way different, too. You know, other than Bend, I would say maybe Ontario. I mean, there's not like an Eastern Oregon city that's the size of Spokane that demands what Spokane needs.
Bend would be the closest, and you're not even, and that's not that close in reality.
So I think we'll be fine. I think it'll get funded. I do think though that the governor, he's gonna want more updates from him. He's gonna want to be in the know more, and I've let them know that. So we'll see.
And that's not a bad thing in and of itself. I mean that's fine too.
No.
In a lot of ways. Guys, I know we've got a few minutes left here. I want to get to a couple other things here. Number one, earlier this week, House Transportation Committee, passing a transportation package. Now, I'm going to turn to the I-5 bridge across the Columbia River because it appears that Washington lawmakers are looking for more toll revenues to help pay for construction of a new I-5 bridge, which probably, given some of the inflation constraints right now, it doesn't come as a whole lot of a surprise.
Mm-hmm. No. No, it doesn't come as a surprise. I mean, inflation... I think the big concern, the reason why you got people that are against tolling, is because it's a main vein for economic commerce, basically.
Yeah.
There's people that have no choice but to take the I-5 bridge to get up here, and you know we're always talking about how commerce should be at least on I-5 it should be able to flow freely. But I'll tell you what, when I went across the Golden Gate Bridge, I paid a heck of a
yeah.
a heck of a toll. And I have a unique perspective, which is, I've paid tolls my whole life. I've mm-hmm. paid tolls on the Hood River Bridge and the Bridge of the Gods. And, it's just what is that toll going to be? And is that going to be a detriment to people that are crossing the river every single day? You know, I heard Senator Cantwell, I went to a event that she was talking about, actually, with former Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg. She said, hey, if you don't like tolls, then invest in Vancouver, and let's make it to where you don't have to cross that river. And I hope they genuinely mean it, because, just like everything else, we need more investment on the in Southwest Washington. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, we'll see. It's going to be tricky. I think, too, Hood River Bridge, just really quick, if you don't mind me segueing to that.
No problem.
On the House side, Hood River Bridge didn't make it into the House Transpo budget.
Really?
And so, but the Senate, it did.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really hoping we have got to secure $50 million for Hood River Bridge, or else we lose federal funding. And... you know, Senator King knows that. Senator Elias knows that, the transportation chair. So I'm really hoping that in concurrence we can at least get that because we cannot lose the funding for the Hood River Bridge.
Have you learned why it was left out at this point? Is it similar to the Gorge Commission situation?
It is. Yeah, it's the same. I mean, it's you just have so much investment that needs to be done in bridges and infrastructure in the Puget Sound area. And, you've got bridge. I mean, you have the 520 that was supposed to be $380 million. It came out at $900 million. They don't know how they're going to pay for it. And when you talk to the House transportation folks, Rep. Barkas, Rep. Fi, I mean, they're pulling their hair because they're like, we're broke. We don't have any money. We're in it. I think they're $1 billion short still.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you're seeing a pretty aggressive gas. You're going to see things that, we're raising revenue for these projects. Mm-hmm. And it's a heck of a balance. And I honestly am so glad I'm not on the transportation committee.
Have you mentioned speaking to the governor about the Gorge Commission. Have you had a chance to speak to the governor about the bridge issue?
I haven't. I definitely need to, though. We've been working so much on the Gorge Commission issue, but I think they know. That is something that the governor is aware of. That is something that, I just start mouthing the word bridge to our transportation budget writers, and they're like, go back to your room.
Well, don't.
They know what I'm about to say to them. We can't lose that funding.
Plus, this is a long way down the road. This isn't like it's a recent request here. We've been doing this for a few years now. With a funding package that we've got the inflation issues or issue with the federal side in particular, but pretty well was at least close to put together. In fact, you would have said last year really thought it was put together, and then inflationary issues, of course, got involved there. But, if the state of Washington doesn't fund their expected share this year, that's going to be a massive setback. I mean, and not just by months. We're talking years probably.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I mean, you have the Oregon side that's still pretty short. Now, they've said that they're going to fund. Right. So I think everyone's just going to be going, okay, Oregon's going to do what they got to do. But mm-hmm. Washington, it's way different. I mean, you're definitely right. You're talking, mm-hmm. You've got to keep that momentum going or else, and I've told this to people back home. I'm like, not knock this bridge, because if you knock this bridge and the word gets up here, mm-hmm. they'll wipe the funding. I mean, they'll gladly take the $100 million they've put aside for the Hood River Bridge and go put it in something else. We have to keep that momentum going. I cross that bridge almost every weekend. I'm home right now, just going to Hood River, with my kids or my family. And when I'm home after session, I mean, I'm in Hood River all the time. I depend on that bridge. The mills depend on the bridge. It is so much bigger than just, it's a commerce bridge.
No, there aren't a lot of options. The options are 20 to 25 miles west and east each way. No offense to the folks in the Seattle area, but there's a few bridges there. There are options there that we don't have here.
Sure.
Anyway.
Yeah.
It goes
so,
on.
Fun stuff, Mark.
it goes on. Well, we will talk to you again here down the road and find out what's going on. We'll keep updated on this. Thanks for doing this, Kevin.
Okay,
appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you, Mark. Have a great day. And when I'm home, I'd love to come and see you, too, in studio. So thank you.
When you get back, just let us know. We'll schedule you on.
Okay. Awesome. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Have a great day. Thanks, Kevin. Kevin Waters, Washington 17th District State Representative, with us on Mid-Columbia Today, 8:32. I'm going to be honest. Friends of the Gorge threw out a lot of stuff about the Gorge Commission not being funded in the House budget, and that rightfully so. I don't have a problem with them doing that. That's what they do. I did not know about the bridge part. I didn't. Now, I've been buried in some other things around here lately, but that's a piece of sobering news there. Again, hopefully it's in the Senate budget. There are going to be a lot of talks around this. It is 8:33. We'll have more right after this.
Hi there. I'm Sonny with Sky Heating, AC, Plumbing, and Electrical. The new year is here. Let Sky handle your HVAC, plumbing, and electrical needs so you can focus on what matters most. Plus, right now, you can get up to $100 off any repair and keep a little extra in your pocket. Visit skyheating.com today to learn more. Oregon CCB number 245538. Washington license SKYHEHA 7635M.
Love wine? Love art? Love a good time? Then don't miss the Columbia Gorge Wine Festival May 10th at the Hood River Fairgrounds. Sample wines from 15 Gorge wineries, savor artisan cheese and chocolate, explore handcrafted wine barrel furniture, and enjoy live music all day. Limited to 1,000 guests, so get your $30 advance tickets now at TicketTomato.com or $35 at the door. Includes an etched wine glass and 5 tastings. Sip, savor, and celebrate at the Columbia Gorge Wine Festival May 10th at the Hood River Fairgrounds.
Spring is in the air, and so is the smell of fresh baked goodies, handcrafted treasures, and more. It's time for the Blossom Craft and Quilt Show, celebrating 28 years of kicking off craft season in Hood River. Explore 70 vendors offering everything from jewelry and patio decor to plants, quilting, and pastries. Rain or shine, we're blooming with fun. So grab your umbrella and sunglasses. You'll need both for the Blossom Craft and Quilt Show. This weekend, 10 to 5 Saturday and Sunday, 10 to 4 at the Hood River Fairgrounds. And let's spring into shopping.
Are you ready to restore balance, reduce stress, and treat sleep issues with the healing energy of love? Unlock your potential with services that range from chakra healing to spiritual coaching.
Hi, this is Deborah Rashidi with Love Energy Healing, where love and healing come together as one. I look forward to meeting you.
Purchase an energy session and enjoy a free gift. Located at 321 East 10th Street, online at love33energy.com. Or call today at 509-281-2225.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
8:35 in the morning. Quick check of news. Running a bit behind here. Darren Ryan's going to join us from Hood River County Health Department in just a couple moments. Oregon Senator Ron Wyden grilled a U.S. trade representative about the Trump administration's tariff strategy before the Senate Finance Committee on Tuesday. Wyden demanded an explanation from U.S. Trade Representative Jameson Greer, saying he didn't see any strategy at all. Greer responded by saying there's a distinct difference between countries wanting to talk and China's retaliation approach. Wyden announced a bipartisan effort to curb the president's trade powers. The resolution, backed by Republican Senator Rand Paul, would terminate the national emergency Trump declared earlier this year. A bill to grant police across Oregon broader powers to use drones to respond to 911 calls of crimes in progress, scope out crash scenes before officers can arrive, chase fleeing suspects, and search for missing children or elderly adults advanced through a critical first stage of the legislature on Monday. Senate Bill 238 passed out of the Senate Judiciary Committee. It's headed to a vote on the Senate floor. Authorities say a woman and her three young children found dead Tuesday afternoon in a home in Cornelius in northwestern Oregon. The bodies of a 37-year-old woman and her three children, ages 2, 5, and 7, found, according to the Washington County Sheriff's Office, after a 911 report. Sheriff's Office spokesperson David Huey telling KETU Television the bodies were found in a building attached to the home. No additional information about the victims or their cause of death immediately available. No arrests have been made. However, investigators don't believe there's a danger to the public, according to the Sheriff's Office. Clouds and a little sun today at some point. Look for highs to be in the low to mid-60s, winds to 10 miles per hour. Currently 46 degrees in the Dalles and Hood River.
It's Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot, so what are you working on? If you're sprucing up your lawn, you know there's no such thing as too much mulch. So don't miss this special buy. 5 bags of Scott's Earth Grow mulch for only $10 at the Home Depot. Promote healthier soil, prevent weeds, and beautify your yard with mulch that maintains its color for up to 12 months. Shop 14 days of deals during Spring Black Friday, now through April 16th at the Home Depot.
Hi, it's Melissa Del Carpine here. Did you know 10 minutes is about the time it takes to make your morning coffee, finish a good dad joke, and drive to our new shop?
Yep.
We moved up the hill on Eagle Loop in Odell with more parking and in a beautiful setting. Same unbeatable service for all your vehicles. Have you been putting off getting the scheduled maintenance done on your vehicle? Come see us. We look forward to welcoming you to our new home in Odell. At Del Carpine Automotive, no job is too big or too small. We work on them all. We're gorge grown and gorge strong.
Have you hugged an alpaca today? Hi, this is Angela. Visit Cedar Creek Alpacas and you might just get to hug Jasper, the famous alpaca. Come meet all the adorable new baby alpacas from this year. There are babies everywhere. There's a reason Cedar Creek Alpacas was voted best local attraction and best outdoor event in the gorge. So plan your visit today and create unforgettable memories. More at cedarcreekalpacas.com. Cedar Creek Alpacas. We're just 10 minutes off Highway 14 in Cook, Washington. The alpacas can't wait to see you.
Hey parents, it's time to get your kids off the couch and away from screens. At Chalk School of Movement, we're all about it. You'll find gymnastics, dryland training, preschool programs, and after-school shuttles. Your kids will learn skills that they'll use forever. Our open gym sessions and epic birthday parties keep the fun going, while our expert coaches help your kids grow stronger and more confident. We're making big dreams come true, so why wait? Sign up today at chalkgymnastics.com and keep your kids moving forward.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bicoastal Media Columbia River, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI, and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
8:39 in the morning. I'm Mid-Columbia Today. We're now joined by, from the Hood River County Health Department, Public Information Officer Darren Ryan. Good morning, Darren.
Hi, Mark. Nice to talk to you.
Good to have you with us once again. And
Yeah.
Well, last week I had North Central Public Health District's director on, Martha McInnes.
Oh, wonderful.
And we talked a lot about budget and money and federal funding, some of which has gone away and some of which they just don't have an answer to.
Right.
So I'll go to Hood River County here. What are you guys facing right now in that regard?
Well, as a project manager at the Health Department, I'm not as involved in budgets. Martha knows, of course, a lot more as director over at North Central. But I will say, you know, as can be expected, there's some uncertainty in terms of our funding. A small portion of the funding that we get at Hood River County Health Department is federal funding. So a lot of it comes from state or other sources. So, you know, it's not a main piece of our budget. That being said, though, we are having to make adjustments and sort of be nimble and get creative, too, with our existing resources and our existing funding, just in the anticipation of any type of clawbacks that come at the federal level. So this isn't unfamiliar territory for health departments, as you can expect. You know, changing federal landscapes, changing state landscapes, you know, we always feel the trickle-down of that or the lack thereof of trickle-down. So it's very known for us to have to be creative with the funds that we do have. So not a lot of information is had, but, yeah, we are getting ready to tighten up a bit and just see how we can use our resources better.
And that's actually what Martha mentioned, was it was not so much the amount. You know, she, it was at this point they knew they had a small amount that had been clawed back. But there was another larger amount that was in question. But the uncertainty part of it was making it very difficult, because especially as you head into a budget cycle, and Hood River County is into one right now, with the new fiscal year in July 1, planning for what the next fiscal year will be is a challenge, and I assume it is Hood River County's health department as well.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's just, you know, we have to be planning for next year, in 5 years, in 10 years. You know, I can give you a very simple example, which would be staff. You know, when we hire people, we don't want them to only be guaranteed a position for the 8 months that are left on that funding stream. You know, we want to keep people for a long time. We want to be able to start programs, start projects, and have them sustain as long as possible. And so when there's, you know, we see this a lot with budgets that we get or grants that we get, where they'll say, well, you get this much for this amount of years, but then we don't know how much we'll give you in 2 years. Well, that's a really impossible place to be for people who are planning, you know, with people's livelihoods, and also, you know, the community relies on us for services. So it's a really, really tricky situation. You know, it's not just public health that's in that, but just as a department that relies on both state and federal funding, it can be really daunting to try and figure out how to move forward and do the best we can with all of our programs and services, but also not doing too much so that if something goes away, we don't have to cut. We can just, you know, reallocate or, you know, Gumby ourselves into a better position.
You mentioned, you know, you get a lot of state funding as well, but are there particular areas of what the health department does that tends to attract more federal funding than other areas? I mean, is it on the communicable disease side, or you know, where does that attention tend to come to? I would assume it would be through grant dollars for the most part.
You know, I actually don't know the answer to that. I'm not sure if the federal funding that we get is earmarked for specific services or if it's just, you know, for the functioning of a health agency.
I would assume they get earmarked. Even the state money, it doesn't tend to be just generic. It usually is used for this subject.
Right.
That's...
Well, I'll have to find that out, and then we can do a bit of a budget deep dive.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. Plus, you have Hood River County, of course, going through its own budget issues as well,
right?
Which will be an interesting position to be in. And I think this also brings up. Actually, I'm going to shift away from the money here into something else that has been kicked around: measles. And I saw a comedian talk about measles, and it basically used the term "it's back." Hard for me to argue that at this point.
Right.
So, you know, what's happening out there? I haven't heard much for the local area. I mean, but I've heard that in some areas of the state of Oregon, we're seeing outbreaks.
Yeah, well, so I just got off the phone with our communicable disease nurse, and I checked in again, and, you know, we're really not seeing any cases here locally, definitely not here locally, and not even statewide, but we are seeing them in our neighboring states. And so that's always what sort of starts to percolate in our minds that we may need to brace for starting to see things pop up that will be on our radar. This has gotten a ton of press, you know, in the last 6, 10, 12 months of, you know, again, we're seeing this disease that we didn't really ever see because there's a vaccination. And so just having to sort of re-educate the public and also re-educate our medical community too. You know, if you're not typically seeing something in clinic a lot, it may not be top of mind to be testing for things or to be thinking of measles as a possibility of what symptoms might be coming from. So it's really an opportunity for us at Public Health to be putting out information to not only the community, but sort of the internal medical community too, of like, hey, let's get ready. Let's make sure we know what this is and let's make sure we have a handle on it. Yeah. I have to say, Mark, though, you know, I think a lot of what we talk about on this show is these diseases and conditions that keep popping up that we have vaccinations against, you know, so it's a twofold coin of where we want to educate on the current outbreak or what may be coming, but we also need to be pushing these vaccines that we have. They're highly, highly effective and very easily to get, easy to get. You know, people can come into the health department, get a vaccination against measles, or, you know, again, we've talked a lot about pertussis, which is whooping cough. Like, these things have vaccines that we need to be pushing as well, because maybe we would be in a better position if we could get those out into the community more.
Now, in the case of the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine, I may be using old nomenclature here, but MMR is why I remember.
No, that's correct.
Okay, yep. MMR. I think pertussis as well. Those are in the requirements for school, aren't they?
They are, yes. So that's something that, you know, at the health department, we send out letters of what vaccines are missing for children and making sure that people are getting to exclusion day, which is the day that you have to have all your vaccines up to date in order to stay in school. And yes, both MMR, which is measles, mumps, rubella, and Tdap or DTaP, which includes the pertussis vaccine, are both required for school-aged children. But of course, what we do see now is there are people who get excluded from those requirements. There's, you know, different requirements based on school district or non-school district. So we just, as Public Health, try and continually to push for people coming in, asking questions of us, going to your primary care provider. We just, you know, we're trying to keep the community from seeing any type of big outbreak. And, you know, back to measles specifically, it is highly, highly contagious. So, you know, if we get one, we try and prevent getting one, but they do tend to spread quite quickly.
You know, you mentioned, you know, getting the word out with the vaccines. And I think this starts to get to battling what gets thrown out on social media with, usually it's some study that, you know, has already been discredited or is not peer reviewed. That's another great one I see a lot. How do you battle through this? Admittedly, I sit there and go, hold it. There's no argument to be had here. I mean, to me, it's like, go talk to somebody who lived through the polio era and ask them what vaccines mean to them and what they did. So I almost can't think of what I say to people who start to doubt vaccines and the effectiveness of them. What are you trying to do as a health department?
Well, I have so many thoughts on this, Mark. First and foremost is, you know, you and I both were here during the pandemic, and this was sort of the bread and butter of what we were trying to figure out, is how do you combat the narrative that kind of just hit the ground running, whether or not they're coming from a reputable source, whether or not they're being confirmed. And things just spiral very, very quickly. And as a consumer, I can understand, you know, it's like when there's a lack of information, you sort of latch on to whatever's close and whatever seems feasible at the time. I think we as a health department, you know, we have a lot of strict rules. Specifically, you know, I help run our communications, and we have a lot of strict rules about what we do and do not publish or post. And a lot of that is down to these strict rules around, yes, is it coming from a primary source? Is it coming from a credible primary source? If not, we don't post. We don't post opinion. I think that's something that gets a little tricky is people think that, you know, in my realm of work and in other public sectors, like there's opinion happening, but it's really around, no, we are just stating fact that we can credit back to a main source, and making sure that people know that they can come to us for trusted, you know, non-judgmental, non-elaborate information that they hopefully then can make the best decision for themselves. I think what is really hard about this time, specifically in public health, but also in a lot of other sectors, and just the day of our lives right now, is that everybody has access to endless information via the internet, from their phones, from social media. You're combating somebody who can access any type of information they want to hear. And so we just try and, you know, stay strong, hold strong in that, you know, we want to have the reputation of being credible, non-dramatic, non-inflammatory. We just want to make sure people have the facts and know where to go for questions, and promote whatever is going to be the best for our community in terms of the health.
I'll go real quick here on the measles, with a couple minutes left, to adults. I guess I think we tend to think of the kids and the vaccines, but for adults, the MMR vaccine, and let's face it, a lot of us, I mean, I remember being lined up for it at 5 years old in a school gymnasium. I remember that quite vividly. But we don't, you know, sometimes we don't always quite remember what our vaccination status is on some things.
Oh, right.
for us as adults, what do we need to think about?
Yeah, so it's so funny when you say that, because I'm like, remember the days where they used to line us all up for vaccines? And that's so far from the reality now. But, you know, so a service that I love about my coworkers at the health department is we do vaccine lookups for anybody who wants to come in or wants to call. We can access all of the Oregon State database. Again, unfortunately, we can't access out of state. So that's why I push adults and families, you know, if you're going to be moving to a different state, make sure that you have called your primary care provider, called the clinic that you've seen for most of your vaccines, and try and gather as much information as you can, because we also can input any vaccine. So we can help flush out, you know, the question marks in your vaccine history if you're able to talk to other clinics. But that being said, you are welcome to come to the health department or call us. And we can look up and say, oh, and then our system flags what you're due for. So we can talk to you about, oh, it sounds like it might be time for you to have a Tdap, or it might be time for you to think about this. And then we have the majority of those vaccines in-house, too. So I really love and I'm really proud to say that we are sort of a one-stop shop, and we want you to be able to come here with questions and then leave with answers. But as far as for adults, you know, we don't have a schedule that's required like children do, at least not one that's in our face very constantly of like, you can't do this if you don't have this. So it's really on us as adults to be talking with our primary care provider or other healthcare providers about, hey, tell me what I'm lacking. Tell me what I'm due for. Because, you know, it's not like I'm going to be kicked out of my life if I don't have this one vaccine. So it's really the onus is on me to make sure I'm getting up to date and protecting myself and my loved ones as much as I can.
I've hit the wall as far as time, so I got to run. Darren, thanks for doing this. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. Darren Ryan, Hood River County Health Department, 8:53 in the morning. We'll wrap it up after this.
Big changes are coming to home cooling systems, and waiting could cost you. A lot of AC systems are using outdated refrigerants and are being phased out, making repairs harder and more expensive. A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air, voted best of the gorge, is here to help. Right now, get up to $2,000 off a new energy-efficient system, replacing R22 with the latest refrigerant technology. It's better for the environment and your wallet. But don't wait. This deal ends May 31st. Does your system qualify? Call us at A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air today and stay cool for less.
Get wall-to-wall savings at Affordable Floors and Abbey Carpets. Work directly with Larry or Shelby. They know flooring with over 30 years' experience. And Affordable Floors gives you a 60-day satisfaction guarantee. So come to the one-stop shop for everything your floor needs. Get wall-to-wall savings at your hometown floor store. Affordable Floors and Abbey Carpets. 1512 Osprey Drive, across from Windmaster Market in Hood River. Online at affordablefloorshr.com.
Hi there, this is Michelle from Hood River Supply. Use our Senex premium ethanol-free fuel for all your outdoor power tools and mowers. boating, road tripping, or going for a motorcycle ride, treat your ride to the best. Hood River Supply Senex has a dedicated 100% ethanol-free pump, so you'll get better fuel efficiency, engine performance, and protection for your small engine and older cars. Keeping your vehicle fueled and ready for when you're making the great outdoors great, Hood River Supply Senex, powered locally in the Heights and Hood River.
Hi, this is Dwayne from Genesis Septic Solutions. We offer all things septic, including septic pumpings, septic repairs, septic installs, and we do both commercial and residential. If you're having septic problems, give us a call at 541-993-7777. We have quality employees, and remember to look for us in the big green trucks. If you're having septic problems, give us a call at 541-993-7777.
I am Amy Knowles. I grew up here in White Salmon. I call this my home. I am the pharmacy director here at Skyline Health. Skyline Hospital is more than just a hospital. It's a lifeline for our community. Our patients are my neighbors, my friends, the people I grew up with. At the end of the day, it's about caring for the people who trust us with their health. I'm proud to be part of a team who takes caring for our community so seriously and a priority for everything we do here every day. I am Skyline.
I'm ready. Let me just grab my bag.
Sweatpants, huh?
Didn't know we were keeping it casual this month.
Yeah, I feel bloated every now and then.
You have to try new Align 3-in-1 Biotic Gummies. They have prebiotics to nourish good bacteria, probiotics to help relieve occasional bloating, and postbiotics for immune support.
All that in one gummy?
Yep. So no sweatpants next time?
Not anymore.
Align 3-in-1 Biotic Gummies for gut health support.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Millions of Americans take medicine like Ozempic and Zepbound. Many of them are overpaying by thousands of dollars a year. These GLP-1 medications for diabetes, weight loss, and more may not always be covered by your insurance, but GoodRx can help. GoodRx helps you save every month on prescriptions at over 70,000 pharmacies nationwide. Best of all, it's free to use. Check GoodRx to save on GLP-1s. Just go to GoodRx.com/GLP. That's GoodRx.com/GLP. GoodRx is not insurance, but can be used instead of insurance, including Medicare and other federal and state-funded programs.
Starting with one store in 1978, Boot Barn has become the largest Western and workwear retailer in the nation. Supporting those who feed, build, and protect America, we offer the largest selection of cowboy boots, work boots, Western wear, workwear, and outdoor gear. With over 500,000 pairs of boots and thousands of top quality jeans and clothing, it's an honor to support the people who make our country so great. Boot Barn. Keep West.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on the Mid-Columbia's news leaders, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR and News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, and Skyline Hospital.
We had plenty to talk about this morning, so I kind of took it right up to the limit here today. Tomorrow on our radio program, we are going to talk about, in the first half of the program, if I get the right date on my, Rachel Fox, Hood River Library Director. Feast of Words is coming up. That event is coming up in a couple of weeks. Big fundraiser for them. We will talk about that. Second half of the show, Ellen Woods Potter is going to join us from the Dallas Arts Center. They've got a new exhibit coming up with some attached events with it, and we will talk to her about what they've got planned. Columbia Gorge Discovery Center will be our subject of the show on Friday. So we're out of time here. I took it right to the end this morning. Thanks to our guests, Kevin Waters up in Olympia and Darren Ryan at the Hood River County Health Department. I'm Mark Bailey. Thank you for joining us this morning, and we will talk to you again on Thursday. We'll be right back.
The Mid-Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bicoastal Media Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 888-786-1511. Thanks for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.